Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if this really needs to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is, our relationship with God is different than our relationship with each other. I mean, it may seem obvious, but I think it bears repeating. Because sometimes we get confused as to how those relationships work, right? Sometimes we elevate people to God status, and sometimes we bring God down to my buddy pal status, and so we tend to get confused as to how this really does work. There's a really easy illustration, though, and it's right in front of us all the time, is the shape of the cross. Because this one, it's really easy to point out that there are two distinct lines, vertical and horizontal, and they're different. They're not two vertical lines, and they're not two horizontal lines. It's one is vertical, one is horizontal. So we're going to picture it this way, and this may be helpful. The vertical one symbolizes our relationship with God. Us down here at the bottom, God up there at the top, and connected in the middle. We're connected through Christ to God, and so we have this connection. Otherwise, we'd be a lump on the ground, and God would be up there. But it's not. We're connected. And then you have the horizontal, where Jesus' arms were outstretched. And so we see in that our relationship with one another. So they're different. But like I said, a lot of times we get that confused. Because there are things... Well, some more theology then. I'm going to confuse everybody. We're going to have a test later. Last week I talked about the theology of glory versus theology of the cross, and how a theology of the cross is how we operate, seeing suffering for what it is. Today, it's sort of like we're seeing the kingdom, what is called two kingdoms. The kingdom of the left, or the left-hand kingdom, is sometimes called the kingdom of the world. So we exist in this kingdom. This is the horizontal kingdom. This is where people are connected to people. And then over here is the kingdom of the right, or the right-hand kingdom, or the kingdom of God. And this is that vertical relationship we have with God, established through Christ. So we live in between the two. We exist in both kingdoms, right? We exist in relationship with one another. We also exist in relationship with God. But they're not the same. They operate very differently. An example would be, Hank Aaron, great baseball player, hit 755 home runs in his career. Amazing. In the left-hand kingdom, amazing. In the right-hand kingdom, doesn't really mean anything. Right? His 755 home runs over here doesn't equate to a better spot in heaven or a better position in relationship to God. Over here doesn't determine here. Another example, you know, the Elon Musk and all of his money, 200-something billion dollars, in the left-hand kingdom means a whole lot. Over here, can't buy a ticket to heaven, so it doesn't mean much. Over here, you have Cristiano Ronaldo, the great soccer player, has 400 plus million followers on Instagram. That's a lot. Means a lot over here. Over here? Meh. Doesn't mean anything. So we live as human beings in between these two worlds, and we get them confused all the time. We start to equate position, power, authority, control, fame, fortune, all of this stuff with somehow impacting this relationship we have with God. But what happens over here doesn't determine over here. Now, yes, over here we can get really confused and led astray into the world and be completely absorbed by all of this stuff, and we find ourselves further and further and further away from that relationship. So we can get influenced. We can get confused. Jesus is addressing some of that confusion with the Pharisees today in our gospel lesson. And he sees the way the Pharisees determine who's the greatest. There's a great banquet. There's a feast on a Sabbath day. There's a feast, and they're all going to this Pharisee's house for a feast. And the table is set up, and you have the host or the man of honor in the middle. And then everyone else is sort of jostling and pushing and shoving to get their position as to who gets to sit by the guy who's in charge, who gets to sit on his left hand and who gets to sit on his right hand. You know, we get this positioning that these guys are doing, and depending on where you get to sit is all determines how important you are or how much influence you have. And so if you're way down here at the bottom, well, you must not be that important. And so you want to kind of push and shove your way and kind of check out where everyone else is sitting so you can grab at the last minute that great spot. And Jesus says, you guys got it all wrong. You guys got it all wrong. In fact, what you're doing is wrecking any kind of positioning and authority you may think you have. This determining who's the greatest by who gets to sit anywhere, he says, that's not the way. It's not the way of the kingdom of God. So that may be the way that we operate in the kingdom of the left. But he says, that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Instead, he says, when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest. Take the lowest seat. Even though you may feel like you deserve to be right at that spot, take the lowest seat. Because if you grab that one and someone more important than you comes in, boy, then you'll be embarrassed and have to go sit at the lowest anyway. So start there. Then if the host sees you sitting there and says, well, come on, come up further, come up closer, then it's an honor to be moved up from the kids' table to the adult table. It's an honor. It's an achievement. So what Jesus is saying to us is don't think of yourself more highly than you ought in either kingdom. Don't think that you are the biggest, best, brightest, richest, any of that stuff, because ultimately there's going to come along somebody who is bigger, brighter, better than you. So Jesus is teaching some very practical humility. In other words, the other fellow first. Let the ones go in front of you. You take the lowest spot. So that's the practical side of what Jesus is teaching. But the kingdom of God side of it is that Jesus himself, the one who deserves to sit on the throne and at the highest, and there is nobody who is bigger, better, brighter than Christ himself. He's the one who takes the lowest spot. The lowest spot. The creator of the universe comes into his creation, and rather than demanding that everybody bow down to him and grabbing the throne of the earth and saying, this is my kingdom, like he could do, he takes the lowest spot by being crucified on the cross. Not only does he teach humility, he is humility. He is humiliated on the cross. The right-hand kingdom, the kingdom of God, begins with Christ's humility on the cross as he dies for us who think we ought to be at a higher spot. He's the one who takes the lowest. He dies on the cross, and then he even goes lower than that. He's buried in his tomb, and he even goes lower than that. As we confess in the creed, he descends into hell. It doesn't get lower than that, and that's the lowest seat. That's where Jesus goes. He doesn't do it for his own good. He doesn't do it to prove a point. He doesn't do it to teach us. He does it for us because we can't comprehend what that means. See, we spend so much time jostling for position over here and elevating people of no great importance into positions of great importance, when in fact, the reality of living in the kingdom of God is that the one who deserves that spot is at the lowest spot, and he's there for you. For you. We didn't sing it today, but we often do. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus gave his life for me. We're the ones who deserve the lowest spot. But Christ is the one who lifts us up to the higher seat. Jesus doesn't just end there with these Pharisees, though, because there's bigger problems, and that is the fact that when they have a party, they are all doing it to be made to look, make themselves look really important. They invite important people to their party so that they look important, and so that maybe those important people will invite them back. We've seen this. This plays out in real life all the time. Who gets invited to what event determines who has social standing. Who gets invited to what event determines how important you are for this whatever party it may be. It happens all over the place, in our communities, in our sometimes even in our families, these things that we do in order to be paid back. We're looking for reciprocation. We're looking for admiration. We're looking for the attaboys. For all of the things we do, we want the praise. We want the position. And that may not play itself out on a grand scale, but a lot of times in our hearts, we want that recognition. We want that position. And when it doesn't happen, we sometimes feel hurt. But Jesus is saying, see, again, we get it wrong because it's not about that. He says, when you have a party, in fact, you should invite people who can't repay you. Invite the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled, he says, invite those because they can't repay you. There's no social standing with that. And what does Jesus do as he calls all of us by the gospel? Can we repay Jesus for what he's done for us? Can we do something for him that he hasn't already done for us? Can we invite him to a party to make him seem greater? Because, no. Jesus is the one who calls the crippled, the lame, the blind, us. There's nothing we can do to repay him. He's the one who calls us to him. Us poor, miserable sinners, as we say at the beginning, he's the one who sees us and says, you are the ones I want. You, me, the mess that we are, He says, you are my people. You are the ones whom I choose. You are the ones who are coming to my party, to my banquet. So the easy thing for us to do is get these confused. It happens all the time. The left-hand kingdom, the right-hand kingdom, they get messed up because we live in both. But if we keep our eyes fixed on the cross, if we see what Jesus has done for us, it may help us a little bit to keep on that narrow path, guided by the Holy Spirit, and remembering that in him, we poor, lame, crippled, blind sinners are brought to the banqueting table, the feast in his kingdom which has no end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.